Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to part 3 of our Hajj Safarnama, the third excerpt from the book Russian Hajj Empire and the Pilgrimage to Mecca by Aileen Kane. And today's excerpt is after World War I, when it wasn't the Tsars that were now trying to control the Hajj, but the Soviet Empire. I'm starting at page 158. Much has been written about the Soviet assault on Islam in Central Asia during the 1920s and 1930s, including the destruction of mosques and madrasas, persecution of the ulama, and the Soviet campaign to unveil women. However, as this chapter will show, together with their domestic efforts to destroy Muslim social structures and remove Islam from public life, the Soviets also quietly supported Islam for foreign Muslims, encouraging and supporting the Hajj along now Soviet routes and in Arabia. This paradox is consistent with the more nuanced picture we now have of early Soviet religious policy. Recent studies have shown that Soviet anti-religion campaigns were neither total nor indiscriminate. They were instead carried out selectively, and state interests shaped plans and policies towards particular religions. The Soviet Hajj campaign would, however, be brief. It began in 1926 and was over by 1930, when the Great Depression brought about a sharp decline once again in global Hajj traffic. Yet, however short-lived, the Hajj campaign is important in illuminating the global dimensions and the ambitions of early Soviet policy towards Islam. Scholars have described how the Soviets welcomed foreign visitors to the USSR in the 1920s and early 1930s and organized tours for them around the new country to cultivate a positive image of the USSR in the world. This story has been told thus far with regards to Europe and the West, and in terms of the nearly 100,000 foreigners who visited the USSR in the interwar years, among them tens of thousands of European and American writers, but never before from the point of view of Hajj. The Soviet Hajj campaign in 1927 went poorly. One of their commissions transported 1,200 pilgrims from Odessa to Jeddah in 1927, but most of them were from Western China, far less than the projected 5,000, but the fleet lost money because pilgrims could not afford its rates. The chairman, Comrade Ivanovov, estimated that the fleet lost 34 rubles per pilgrim and wrote to the Commissionerate of Finance and asked him to cover the losses. Many Muslims complained to Sovtoflot about their awful experiences. Conditions along Soviet railroads had been terrible, even deadly. Promised second-class cars, pilgrims were forced instead to travel in freight cars that had no berths. They were overcrowded. Pilgrims had to sleep together in a heap on the floor. There was no water on the trains for pilgrims to drink, nor for them to perform their ablutions. The train cars lacked step ladders, which made it difficult for many elderly pilgrims. Most of them had never ridden a train before and climbed on and off while the train was moving. In one awful case, an elderly man slipped under the train and the wheels amputated both of his legs. Baggage was lost as well. Boxes and cases belonging to Kashgar pilgrims got held up in Odessa. And when they arrived, they were split open boxes of rotten dates and the names were rubbed off packages. Planning and communication among Soviet officials had been poor, and this was not surprising because their Hajj campaign was carried out against a backdrop of domestic chaos and upheaval caused by Stalin's first five-year plan. In 1928, the NKID expanded the support for Hajj pilgrims in Arabia. That year, the newly arrived Soviet Consul General in Jeddah, a Kazakh from Kokand named N.T. Kurankinov, set up a Soviet medical aid station for pilgrims, and he assured the Soviet government that it would be strategically and politically useful. He wrote, "It would be tremendously significant in the struggle for the USSR as tens of thousands of Muslims come to Hijaz from all over the Muslim world." With the support of the NKID, in 1928, A regular service for Hajj pilgrims was created between Odessa and Jeddah, and the fleet instructed Soviet embassies and consuls to advertise its new service and to provide estimates of expected volume of Hajj traffic so they could plan accordingly. The instructions had 8 sections that covered timing, steamship schedules, cost of travel, transport of valuables, transport of religious objects, transport of baggage, lodging in Odessa, and passports. The Hajj was scheduled to begin on May 23, 1928, and all pilgrims taking Soft-o-Gloss ships were now to follow the same route from Odessa to Jeddah. And for the convenience of pilgrims, steamships were to leave Odessa on 4 separate dates in March, April, May for Jeddah. And they would also return from Jeddah to Odessa also on 4 separate dates in June and July, allowing enough time for pilgrims to complete the rituals in Mecca and visit Medina. This usually took them 3 or 4 weeks. And for some to spend extra time in the holy cities or to study or visit with relatives. The trip from Jeddah to Odessa would take 10 days, and pilgrims would be given the choice of first, second, or third class tickets, with payment of US dollars for local hard currency. Pilgrims were allowed to carry valuables and money in unlimited amounts. They would receive papers to document their valuables and money and show these at customs. Returning pilgrims were allowed to bring into the USSR from Mecca religious objects and souvenirs in the following quantities per person: 25 jars of holy water, 30 pounds of dates, 200 strings of prayer beads, 2 belt scarves, 2 turbans, 2 small rugs. Pilgrims were allowed unlimited luggage in transit through the USSR on the steamship. They were allowed free transport of up to 180 pounds of luggage. And during their stay in Odessa, they would stay free of charge in the Qazi Khan. Each pilgrim was, however, required to carry a passport. This is Sabahul Muslim.